Welcome to this week's Assist, sponsored by Free Super Tips. I'm Warren Ashurst, back in the hot seat this week, and I'm joined by Mark Langdon and Tom McGarry to look ahead to the weekend's football. And after a thrilling midweek of Champions League action, we're getting ready for another big weekend of Premier League and EFL matches. A double week, of course, of EFL games over Good Friday and Easter Monday. Before we get to that, though, let's reflect on what happened in Europe first. I was going to ask you about Arsenal, but I don't want to put you into any more pain, Mark, than you're already in at the moment. So we'll talk a little bit about, from an England perspective, Bayern Munich, or the Tottenham Reserves, as they're often called these days as well. Unlucky a little bit to lose to Inter Milan, bearing in mind their battling performance at the San Siro. But are Inter, well, obviously they are serious contenders because they're in the semi-final, but could you see them going all the way?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I mean, I was sort of saying it in jest, really, off camera there, Warren, about Arsenal. I'll let Tom talk more about their game. I think it's an amazing achievement for Arsenal to, you know, comprehensively dismantle Real Madrid over the two legs. You know, it could have been more, couldn't it? You know, Saka gets that early penalty and scores that. I think it would have been even more comfortable, obviously. But I was like looking at the stats at half time. Real Madrid's XG was like under 0.1 for the first half. So defensively, really good. And that their game against Paris is a clash of styles in many respects, but a really close game. In terms of Inter against Bayern, I thought Bayern were unlucky. I thought that they were the better side over the 180 minutes. And as you mentioned there, yeah, it was like Tottenham, Munich, really, with Harry Kane and Eric Dier getting on the score sheet. But they just fell asleep from set pieces, particularly the second goal, really, from their former player, Benjamin Pavard. And it's been a story of Bayern season, really. They don't defend well enough in key moments. Even last week, they conceded two goals against Borussia Dortmund in the Bundesliga. And that Inter against Barcelona, I mentioned Arsenal against PSG, clash of styles. I mean, Inter against Barcelona is pretty much the same. You've got a team that thinks about defence first in Inter against one that really wants to play on the front foot in Barcelona. In big games, I tend to edge towards the team that's better defensively. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but it's just the way I sort of, it feels like the safer sort of way to play, doesn't it, really? So, I think from a purist point of view, I'd like to see Barcelona against Paris Saint-Germain. I wouldn't be that amazed if it was Arsenal against Inter.
No, talking about the two Premier League clubs in particular then, Tom, I mean, I think Arsenal's performance was obviously the standout one, but Villa gave it a really good go against a PSG team who continued to impress, particularly going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. As you say, Arsenal, fantastic over both legs against Real Madrid. To win both matches against a team with so much talent and so much European pedigree, I think they deserve to be applauded. But like you say, Aston Villa also gave it a real good go on Tuesday night. I was really impressed with their effort, particularly in that period early in the second half when it actually looked like it could be on when they got those two quick-fire goals. And there was a couple of decent saves from Donnarumma as well. We were starting to think it could be potentially another special night in the Champions League, another collapse potentially from Paris Saint-Germain. But this is a different PSG, isn't it, to the ones we've seen in bygone eras? It's less about the star names. Instead, it's more the collective. It's a young, it's an exciting team. As Mark mentioned, it's going to be real clashes of styles in the two semi-finals, and it's got a real open feel to it as well. All four teams have realistic claims of winning it. We could have any kind of matchup in the final. I think it's going to be really exciting, but Aston Villa, they do deserve a lot of credit, and that might just whet their appetite to try and get back in the Champions League again next season.
Yeah, and we'll be focusing on Aston Villa in the big match this week because the standout Premier League game takes place at 5:30 p.m. on Saturday evening. It is Aston Villa against Newcastle at Villa Park. Villa 13-10 to claim the victory. It's 7-4 Newcastle and 13-5 the draw. Both of these two teams, Mark, well and truly in the Champions League shake-up. And, well, we'll start off with Newcastle first to give Crystal Palace a real drubbing in midweek.
Yeah, I've forgotten this game was even sort of on, you know, such has been the focus of the Champions League. I opened my sort of live score app. I think it was about 3-0. I was like, oh, blah, I did, you know, crazy start. Or was it 2-0 maybe really early on? A crazy start from Newcastle. in some ways you'd think it's quite a nice game, that one. Crystal Palace in the midweek after they've been to Man City, not that long before an FA Cup semi-final. You know, it probably is the game you'd want if you've got something to play for, as Newcastle have. But, you know, this, and you maybe say the same about the Man United game on Sunday as well. It was a nice time to play them. But I think that is doing a disservice to Newcastle, because at the moment, they might be playing the best football in the Premier League. You know, Liverpool have slowed down somewhat, and you know, Newcastle are you know, fully at it at the moment. The front sort of players are all in form. I mean, could have gone either way after winning that League Cup. They could have been on the booze for a few weeks and kind of, you know, just forgotten about the Premier League. But it has gone sort of the opposite of that. They've been sort of inspired by winning the League Cup. I think that the shackles are off them now. There's less pressure. It's been a good season for them, you know, one that the fans are going to remember forever. But there is this carrot now of finishing in the Champions League spots, and like outside of the obvious two, in Arsenal and Liverpool, like you would sort of have to say that Newcastle currently look like you know, the bankers really to finish in that top five. This is a big game though, because if you lose to Aston Villa, you bring them much closer to, you know, towards you. It's a real sort of six pointer, and I think we can start to call them now six pointers. We're in the middle of April, so we can start rolling out those cliches.
Yeah, I mean, Eddie Howe obviously has been ill with pneumonia, we found out this week, and has missed the last two matches. And we hope that he's back to full fitness and back on the touchline shortly, Tom. But Jason Tindall obviously has just kept things going the way that they've been going over the last few weeks. And as Mark mentioned there, you know, it could have gone one of two ways after that League Cup final, but the incentive of Champions League football has pushed them on.
Absolutely. And as Mark alluded to, the fact that they've won the League Cup now and that, you know, guaranteed Europe for next season, regardless, it's taken maybe the pressure off slightly. They've got that monkey off their back. They've finally won a trophy, and they're playing with a freedom and expressing themselves in games now. And they were absolutely fantastic on Wednesday night, blew Crystal Palace away. And it's not just Alexander Isak scoring all the goals. All players are stepping up. Harvey Barnes has hit a real purple patch. He's keeping Anthony Gordon out of the side at the moment, with Gordon back from suspension and the little knock he had. Jacob Murphy, I mean, I've heard there's a petition to get him into the next England squad. He's playing that well. Goals, assists, absolutely fantastic. So to all these Newcastle players, feel like they've been galvanised by what they did in the League Cup. And as Mark mentioned, they are the best side in the Premier League at the moment. I think they've got a realistic chance of hunting Arsenal down and finishing second if Arsenal are going to be distracted by their Champions League semi-final and potentially a final to come. So, yeah, Newcastle absolutely flying at the moment. I think this is going to be a really entertaining game, though. It will depend how Villa react from going out of the Champions League, but it's got goals written all over it. I've mentioned Newcastle's attacking players. Villa, Marcus Rashford, Marco Asensio, Ollie Watkins will want to start this game and perhaps prove a point to Unai Emery. I think it's got the makings of a real good game.
I thought you were going to say for a moment that they were appealing for Jacob Murphy to get a knighthood for a second. Not quite at that level. Maybe a statue along the line as well. But no, he has been inspired in recent weeks. Let's touch upon Villa then, Mark, because we mentioned earlier on that terrific effort against PSG. And as Tom's already sort of said there, it could go one of two ways. It could be a bit of deflation off the back of not going through in the Champions League, or like Newcastle, they get the bit between their teeth here.
Yeah, I think, you know, they've got a taste for the Champions League now, and it's difficult when you've been in the Champions League and you realise like how good it is and sort of what those big matchups mean for the club and the way that it, you know, the excitement sort of builds throughout the tournament. Sort of speaking as a Spurs fan, we had that a couple of years ago. And once you then don't get it, everything else just feels flat after that, and sort of Europa League isn't quite as important. The Europa Conference League that Villa were in last season, you know, you barely worth bothering with. You know, so I have, you know, really sort of lived that experience. And I think the player, you know, Unai Emery will be saying to the players Like, let's get back there. Now, it's easier said than done because, you know, Nuno will be telling Forest, you know, what an opportunity they've got. And Man City are not going to want to finish out of the top five, and Chelsea will want to be in there. So it's not just a case of, you know, because Aston Villa want to be in there, that they will get in there. But, you know, they've played really well since Rashford and Asensio came into the club back end of January, because it looked at that stage like they were just beginning to sort of tire, and it was difficult for them to play, you know, in Champions League, and of course they're in the FA Cup semi-finals as well, and Premier League, and their league form was suffering. But brought in a couple of fresh faces, it's given real depth to the squad because they're two versatile players that can play in a number of positions. So other players have come back from injury, and you know, they'll feel like they were unlucky against Paris Saint-Germain in that second half. That the Matson shot that was blocked almost on the goal line. I mean, yeah, that was going in. Donnarumma made, I think Tom said, some good saves. I mean, I don't know what he's like in goal, because I thought they were better than good. You know, there was a couple of absolutely outstanding stops in there from Donnarumma. So I think I don't want to be condescending, but I think they can take a lot in defeat and a lot of pride in that. And I don't think it will impact them. Tuesday, Saturday is long enough to get over it. If they don't win this game, I don't think it will have anything to do with the PSG result.
I would assume the Aston Villa fans hope that it wasn't ironic that they played the Europa League music instead of the Champions League music out before the tie on Tuesday. And they'll hope that they can get back into the Champions League this time around. Before we get your best bets for this game, just a quick word, Tom, on Marcus Rashford, who I thought was absolutely outstanding against PSG in that second leg. I'm putting you on the spot now, but if you were Marcus Rashford, you know, considering his situation at Manchester United at the moment, will he be seriously asking the question, can I go to Villa on a permanent basis?
It's difficult, isn't it? I think it'll come down to money, wages and things like that. He's on such a good contract at Manchester United. Are Aston Villa going to be able to match that? Is he going to take a wage drop? You know, PSR will probably come into the thinking there as well. But he was absolutely fabulous, wasn't he, for that 20-minute spell or so at the start of the second half. I was surprised whether he was tiring that he was the one who came off midway through that second period when Ollie Watkins came on. I thought potentially they could have played up front together. Rashford could have moved slightly out wide, but I certainly thought he was doing well enough to stay on. It's difficult. I envisage he will end up back at Manchester United next season and will play for Manchester United next season. But whether Aston Villa want to keep him, I'm not so sure. I think it might just be something that's been good for both parties, well, all parties as well, if you include Manchester United, over the second half of the season.
Well, let's turn our attentions then to the best bets for this game. The big match, as I say, 5:30 kickoff on Saturday. Mark, how do you see this one going, Villa against Newcastle?
Over 2.5 goals for me. Villa, last 13 have gone over. Newcastle, the same, 11 of last 13. So a lot of goals in the games at the moment for these two sides. So I think it'd be a really good game. Just quickly on Rashford, I think he might start Aston Villa. I think they might get rid of Ollie Watkins in the summer.
Okay, that's certainly one to watch. Tom, in terms of you've already said that you think there's going to be goals in this.
Yeah, I'm on a similar line to Mark. I've gone over 2.5 goals and both teams to score combined. You know, both have so much attacking quality, and I think there'll be an attacking element to this game. Villa will want to win it. Newcastle are just playing so well. So I've looked at over 2.5 goals and both teams to score. If I had to be pushed on a winner, Newcastle's recent record against Villa is really good. They've won the last three, 3-1, a 3-0, and a 5-1 victory in that. So I'd go for Newcastle if I had to, but I'm erring on the side of goals.
Okay, well, that is the main game in the Premier League this weekend. Let's go through the rest of the top flight matches now, and we'll start off with the 3:00 kickoffs on Saturday, and we'll start off at the Geotech Community Stadium, where Brentford take on Brighton. As far as the prices are concerned, Brentford are around about 7-5 to claim the victory. It's 13-8 Brighton and 11-4 the draw. Tom, we'll start with you with this one. Hard to know where to go, I'd suggest, at the minute, because these two teams are capable of beating anybody in the league, but also capable of losing to anybody.
Yeah, if you don't know where to go, just sit yourself firmly on the fence, which is kind of what I'm doing now. I'm looking at the draw. I mean, it is quite a difficult game to call. Brentford, you know, were fabulous at home at the start of the season, has been documented. Terrible away. that's kind of flipped around over the second half of their campaign. But they've only won one of their last six. They have picked up a few decent draws in the last two games at home to Chelsea and certainly away to Arsenal last weekend. And for Brighton, it's really become anticlimactic, hasn't it? At the end of their season, they're out of the Champions League reckoning. They've been knocked out of the FA Cup. It's no win in five across all competitions. And, you know, there's still the hope that they can get into Europe of some form for next season. But given the money they spent in the summer, it's a little underwhelming for Fabian Hertzler and his side. So looking at it, I think the draw on balance probably looks like the best result. I mentioned the draws Brentford have had of late. Brighton have drawn three times in their last five as well, if you include the penalty shootout exit to Nottingham Forest in the FA Cup. And three of the last four meetings between these two have finished all square. There were a couple of nil-nils and a 3-3 in and amongst that. I think we'll probably get somewhere in between that on Saturday, maybe a 1-1, something like that. But for me, yeah, it's got draw written all over it.
Mark, I think there's probably quite a lot of people expecting Brentford to struggle, having lost Ivan Toney, of course, and some of them have had their injury problems as well. They're actually only 5 points behind Brighton and one place behind them going into this game. Putting you on the spot now, who finishes higher in the table?
I'd go for Brighton, just because of that buffer that they've got. But yeah, I think Brentford have had a typically good, unfussy, They do the processes so well. They sell players at the right time. They buy the right type of players. Thomas Frank is very tactically flexible. And so, they're just a very kind of well-organized, again, falling into cliche, but they're just well-organized, well-run, know what they are, know what they're trying to do, and don't get too up when they're going well, and they don't get too down when, they have a sticky spell. They know that's sort of just part of the process of being a mid-table Premier League team, and they accept where they are, and they're not trying to chase, too much beyond that. Just a really sensible side. So, look, it could be eighth, couldn't it, that gets Europe this season. So, there is still something to play for these two teams, I suppose. But no love lost in the boardroom. Matthew Benham and Tony Bloom going up against each other. Both incredibly shrewd operators. I think it might be a draw as well. That's where I thought the value was. Just in terms of Brentford, that one win in six, they have played Arsenal, Chelsea, Aston Villa, Everton, Bournemouth and Newcastle. So it has been a tough run for them, but not sure I could back them to beat Brighton.
Nope. Well, up next on our list is the game at Selhurst Park for Crystal Palace against Bournemouth. Palace 29-20. It's 13-8 Bournemouth and the draw is around 13-5. Palace, arguably, other than Newcastle, had been the side in form until the last couple of weeks. And Mark, I suppose there's something there for Oliver Glasner to look at with that FA Cup semi-final still to come.
Well, yeah, been a very well-organised side, and good defensively. Started brilliantly at City and then, fell apart. And Glasner took some of the responsibility, said he wished he wouldn't have changed formation and sort of stuck with a 3-4-3 when he went 3-5-2. Then they went to Newcastle, missed a penalty, got thumped. I think what will happen here really is it's the game before the FA Cup semi-final, but there's a full week in between. So I think this is quite a big game for Crystal Palace, really, just to get a bit of confidence back into the squad, get sort of to the levels that they were prior to when we were speaking this time last week. So I'm not going to go for them to win the game. I'm going to go for a draw again. But I can see them here like really concentrating on the defensive side in preparation for next week. And it was just I weren't mad on the Bournemouth price. I know they won against Fulham on Monday night, but I think they've played better this season and sort of lost Bournemouth or not won. So it wasn't an amazing performance from them. And I'm expecting some kind of reaction from Palace.
Yeah, that penalty miss from Eberechi Eze, I'm hoping, stops the stuttering run-up over the next few weeks, because Nick Pope did well to stay on his feet and make the save in midweek. Bournemouth again, Tom, we thought at one stage the Champions League was in their grasp. I mean, it would be a brilliant season for them, even if they were to qualify for, whether it be the Europa League or the Europa Conference League.
Yeah, absolutely, it would, and we have to put that in perspective. A few poor weeks, and they may not be in the Champions League running, but it's still been a fantastic season and a fantastic performance from Andoni Iraola's side. I'm looking at Bournemouth in the draw double chance market, and I've added in an extra caveat. I've gone quite niche with this one of between 2 and 4 goals in the match. Bournemouth only scored one against Fulham, but they've got that win now. They've managed to get back into that winning groove. It wasn't a brilliant performance against the Cottagers, but they did enough, and that, I think, will have given them some confidence heading into this trip to Selhurst Park. I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see, as Mark mentioned, how Crystal Palace, A, react from conceding 10 goals in 2 games across those matches with City and Newcastle, and with the FA Cup semi-final against Aston Villa on the horizon. How does Oliver Glasner play this one? I think it will be tight, which is why I'm looking at the double chance of the Bournemouth or draw, but I think there'll be goals as well. Before the defeat to Newcastle on Wednesday, Palace had actually scored in 18 matches in a row. The last time they'd drawn a blank was a reverse fixture actually against Bournemouth on Boxing Day. Whereas Bournemouth's matches, each of their last 7 games, there's been, before the Fulham victory, there'd been at least 2 and a maximum of 4 goals. So I think we'll be looking at, you know, maybe a 2-1 to Bournemouth, maybe a 2-2, something like that. But I do think Bournemouth will get something, and I think there'll be 2 to 4 goals, I should say, in the match.
Another of the 3 o'clock kickoffs on Saturday takes place at Goodison Park. And as we get ever closer to the end of the season, we get towards the end of Goodison, of course, as a Premier League ground. Everton 27-10 to beat City, who are 10-11 to claim the victory, and it's 13-5 the draw. Tom, we'll start with you with this one. I know we've said it probably 3 or 4 times during the course of the season, but City do seem to be finding some form now.
They do. They're unbeaten in 5. And, you know, the way they came back against Crystal Palace last weekend, I was really impressed with. I thought City have struggled for much of this season, or much of the last few months, to find a balance. Pep Guardiola, one week he's going with a youthful team. The next week he's relying on experience from the likes of Ilkay Gundogan, Bernardo Silva, Kevin De Bruyne. I think he struck a balance last weekend, and they looked really impressive as they ripped through Palace the longer that game went on. So I think City, you know, there's value to be had in them beating Everton. I know Everton have been really hard to beat under David Moyes, and they've had some really good results over the last couple of weeks, especially the draw of Arsenal and then winning away at Nottingham Forest, deservedly winning that game, even though the goal came late on. But the record against City is not great. Unsurprisingly, most teams' records against City isn't great. They drew 1-1 at the Etihad earlier in the season, but that's only the second point they've taken from 15. Of the 15 meetings before that, City winning 13 of those. So I think City are finding their feet. I think they're going to potentially win every game between now and the end of the season. I think they will finish comfortably in the top 5, and I think they'll win this game.
It's an interesting sort of scenario at the moment, Mark, which might actually have worked in City's favour, was De Bruyne announcing that he's going to be leaving at the end of the season and wanting to finish on a high, and actually Erling Haaland being out at the moment because it may well suit City's style a bit better.
Yeah, I definitely think there is something in City being sort of, I'm not saying better without Haaland, but sort of a different team when he's not there. And it probably suits the way that Pep Guardiola wants to play sort of more than when Haaland is there, because, you know, Haaland does very little outside of sort of scoring goals, and he scores enough of them that he needs to be in the team. So, it's a nice problem to have for Pep Guardiola, that one. I'm going to disagree with Tom, though. I'm going to go for Everton or draw double chance. I'm struggling to trust City, odds on away from home. And you look at Everton, 1 defeat in 9. That was 1-0 at Liverpool when they didn't play badly at all. They're unbeaten in 6 Premier League games at home. And this is the last big game at Goodison Park. They've got Ipswich and Southampton afterwards. So no love lost is there between Scousers and people and Mancunians anyway. I think this is going to be a hostile atmosphere for City, and I just don't trust them enough.
Okay, well, a difference of agreement in terms of the game at Goodison. What about the match at the London Stadium? I've got the feeling this might be a bit more of an agreement, because West Ham face a Southampton side still looking to beat Derby's record for the lowest points total in Premier League history. West Ham 12-25 to claim the victory. It's 11-2 Southampton and 100-30 the draw. Mark, is there any other thing to look at here other than a West Ham win?
Well, I mean, every team has their price, but I actually think that West Ham minus one Asian handicap is the way to play this one. Southampton conceded 17 goals in their last six away games, and the team just seems to have gone under, really. I mean, like some of the defending I've seen against Villa and Tottenham last couple of weeks, not good. I mean, I know they'll want to beat that Derby record, but it's one thing sort of saying it and another thing actually being able to do it. So there'll be easier games for them. I think they've got Leicester, haven't they, in the running. That might be the opportunity for them to beat the Derby record. But no, I think they'll lose this one and lose it well.
Yeah, Tom, in agreement?
Yeah, it's hard to suggest anything other than a West Ham victory, even though they've not been great, have they, under Graham Potter? Just 3 wins in 13. I'm looking to increase a little bit of value at West Ham and both teams to score. Southampton had scored in four on the bounce before last weekend's defeat to Villa. They've netted in six of their last seven away games. That includes trips to Tottenham, where I thought they were pretty decent in the second half of that game, and away at Liverpool as well recently. So I think there's enough scope for Southampton to score in this game, but West Ham should win. I think it'll be slightly anticlimactic away. I think Southampton will beat Derby's record low points total, probably by beating Leicester when those two teams face off. But, you know, I mean, beating Leicester are another team that you'd argue are one of the worst in Premier League history. So it'd be slightly hollow if they did manage to get past that mark in that match. But yeah, in this game, very difficult to look beyond the West Ham win of any sort.
Okay, well, that's Saturday concluded. Let's move on to Sunday's matches then. And once again, we've got three games kicking off at 2 o'clock due to the midweek European action. And we'll start off with the West London derby as Fulham take on Chelsea. Fulham 17-10, Chelsea 27-20, and it's 27-10 the draw in this. And Fulham, of course, Tom, going for the league double over their near rivals.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Fulham are in very inconsistent form. In the last eight games, they've won, lost, won, lost, won, lost, won, lost. Last of those defeats coming against Bournemouth. I do fancy them, though, to get something off Chelsea. As you say, they're looking to do the league double over their West London rivals, and with that 2-1 win at Stamford Bridge. And Chelsea will come into this game with no win in their last eight Premier League games, only three draws and three goals scored over that period. They've got the second leg of their Conference League tie with Legia Warsaw to come before this game. I don't think that will have a great bearing on this match. Enzo Maresca, you would expect, will rotate for that Legia game, given that they're 3-0 up from the first leg. But I feel like it has been a distraction, the Conference League, and he's not been quite sure what players to go with in what competition. He's been chopping and changing. Cole Palmer's still not firing on all cylinders. Going forward, Chelsea aren't the force in general that they were earlier in the campaign. So I think Fulham might be able to take advantage. I've gone with Fulham draw, no bet, which is available at evens. And I think, you know, that's a decent option. The protection, if there's a draw, you don't lose your money. But I do fancy Fulham in the game.
What do you make of the Cole Palmer situation at the moment, Mark? It's a very strange one. We know he was struggling with illness for a while, but completely gone off the ball, it would seem, but it's coincided with Chelsea's really poor run of form.
Yeah, I think, first of all, he's a young player, so like they do have ups and downs. Like you can't be reliant, and Chelsea have become really reliant on him, but you can't be so reliant on one player to you know, carry the attacking threat. So there's maybe also the fact that, you know, regression to the mean almost. He was playing at a level that was unsustainable, I think, at times. There have been, I don't watch Chelsea every week, but I think there have been accusations that maybe Maresca's style doesn't necessarily always play to the attacking player's strengths. It's quite methodical, isn't it, the way that Chelsea moved the ball forward. And there was ironic cheers when they played a longer pass forward against Ipswich last week. So not all fans are kind of sort of in the Maresca loving at the moment. So I think that sort of all combined together, really, teams not playing that well, just means that Palmer slowed down, and that plays into my bet actually of under 2.5 goals. Chelsea have not scored more than one goal away from home in the Premier League since early December, when they got 4 at Tottenham. And if you remember, that was a day that Van de Ven went off injured, Romero went off injured, Fraser Forster was in goal, they gave away 2 penalties. And I'm sort of more inclined to believe their last London derby away from home, which was that poor draw with Brentford 0-0. So, yeah, not expecting a classic.
Okay, up next it is to Portman Road, where Ipswich are drinking in Last Chance Saloon, although we've been saying that for the last couple of months, to be honest with you, as they play host to Arsenal. Ipswich 7-1 to claim the victory here. Arsenal 2-5 and the draw 7-2. Hard to know in terms of what Arsenal will do from a selection point of view, Mark, whether they'll make changes after that midweek game and then think ahead in terms of the Champions League semi-final. But is this going to be a straightforward win?
I think it'll be straightforward enough, even if Arsenal do rotate. And, I think Mikel Arteta as well within his rights to chop and change the team around. I mean, if you go back to sort of last weekend's game, he picked a stronger team than I thought he would against Brentford. But you just wonder whether the effort is completely there. And there's a distraction, isn't there, with the Champions League. I'm going to go for Arsenal to win and both teams to score. Ipswich have scored in 11 of their last 12 games. And, while all opponents are not as good as Arsenal, that run does include away matches at Liverpool and Aston Villa. I expect them to be outclassed whatever team Arteta selects, but it should be a high-scoring game.
Been a bit of talk, Tom, that Liam Delap might be playing for the opposition next season in terms of potential transfer talk. But, I mean, people are looking and think, 7-1 at home, even though it is Ipswich, is a tempting price in the Premier League. But are Arsenal just going to be too strong?
I think so. I think Arsenal will get the job done. I mean, Ipswich have been terrible at home this season. Just one win at Portman Road in the league. And the last 6 games, they've lost them all on home soil, conceding 20 goals. I think they'll keep this competitive. Slightly different from Mark. I don't think there'll be that many goals in this game. I've gone for Arsenal and under 2.5. I think it'll be a professional job for Mikel Arteta's side. They'll grind out. Ipswich will... not defensively great, but they'll try and make things difficult for Arsenal. And it was 1-0 when the two sides met at the Emirates earlier in the season, Kai Havertz scoring the only goal of the game. I actually think it might be something quite similar, and Arsenal will be satisfied with that. It might be a poor performance from them. They might have to wait until they get the goal, but I think they should have enough quality in the end to get past Ipswich, who are destined, like Leicester, like Southampton, for the Championship again next season.
Well, the third 2 o'clock kickoff is at Old Trafford, where Manchester United face Wolves. United are evens to win the game. It's 13-5 Wolves, and the draw is also 13-5. Watched Manchester United at Newcastle last week, Tom, and just when you think they might be taking a couple of steps forward, they take another 3 or 4 steps back. I mean, that could have been worse than it ended up.
Yeah, and Manchester United, they're all in on the Europa League, although ironically, by the time they play this game, it might be all out of the Europa League. But yeah, they can't get anything going in the Premier League, and they're facing a Wolves side that they're flying at the moment. 4 wins on the bounce and beaten in 5. Amazingly, if Wolves win this game, they can go level with United on points in the standings, and no one would have thought that a few months ago, certainly when Ruben Amorim came in. So I do fancy Wolves to get something from this game. I'm looking at the draw, Wolves in the double chancing. United, as you mentioned, were terrible against Newcastle. Could have lost by more last weekend. They've only won 2 of their last 9 in the league, and those wins came against 2 of the bottom 3, Ipswich and Leicester, who we've spoken about being both destined for relegation. So, yeah, it's difficult for me to see Manchester United winning this game. That they may be buoyed, they may be... have a bit of a feel-good if they do get through against Lyon on Thursday night. But, yeah, for me, I'll be looking at Wolves in the double chance.
Mateus Cunha being back after suspension obviously bolsters Wolves, even though he could well be leaving at the end of the season, Mark. But, Cunha on top form against that Manchester United backline is certainly something to be concerned about if you're Ruben Amorim.
I'm not sure Cunha will start, because he didn't against Tottenham, came off the bench, got his goal, but he seems to be half on the naughty step at least for some social media posts that didn't go down too well with the Molyneux faithful, and his antics and getting sent off at Bournemouth a few weeks ago. So it's a nice option to have, whether he's starting or comes off the bench. But I'm going to disagree with Tom. I thought odds against for Manchester United at home it sort of caught my eye, because I think they're more likely to be kind of off, for want of a racing term, Old Trafford. Like, I think it's easier to chuck it in away from home. And I understand the team that he picked and the motivation for that game at Newcastle at the weekend. It just didn't matter, given they've got these two Europa League games that were sort of sandwiched in between it. But I think, if you look at the home performances, like, they weren't bad against Arsenal nor against Man City. Actually, if they play to those levels, I think that might be enough to beat a Wolves team. Yes, they've won four in a row, but those wins were against Southampton, Ipswich, a Tottenham team that is in disarray and also in the midst of a Europa League doubleheader. And then there was that 1-0 against West Ham, the easily forgotten game, and West Ham are not great either at the moment. So I can pick holes in that Wolves winning run. It's not with any great confidence, but I think you'll be kicking yourself if Man United win odds against a home to Wolves.
Okay, well, we'll move on to the late game on Sunday. And as we've already alluded to, we are recording this on Thursday morning, where it's been announced that Virgil van Dijk has signed a new deal with Liverpool off the back of last week's announcement that Mo Salah has done likewise. And Liverpool will look to take another step closer to lifting the Premier League trophy when they face Leicester at the King Power Stadium on Sunday afternoon. Leicester is big at 10-1 to win that game. It's 2-9 Liverpool and 21-4 the draw. Timing of these announcements, Mark, is always interesting, and Liverpool will be hoping that gives them another little boost as the Mo Salah one did last week.
Definitely, yeah. I think Liverpool have just become slightly distracted, and it can be difficult, I suppose, when you know you're going to win the league, but yeah. And it's just a strange vibe around the place. Just on the new contracts, I think it's really interesting because Liverpool had to do it. They had to bring Salah back for another couple of years, and they had to do the same for Van Dijk. Like, it's not without risk, I would say that, because you just never know when a player just like loses their legs. Like, Kevin De Bruyne, this time last year, I don't think there would have been too many people sort of suggesting that his time was definitely up at Man City. And like, he announced he was going last week and everyone was like, yeah, fair enough. He's kind of, he's not as important anymore. And, when you're paying and signing these deals, my colleague Simon Giles made this point a few weeks ago, you're not paying for what you've had before. You're paying for what you're going to get in the future. And I completely get why Liverpool have done it. Like, they just couldn't allow the two most influential players, on the pitch and in the dressing room to exit. But it doesn't mean that you're going to get the same Salah and the same Van Dijk for the next 2 years. In terms of this game, I mean, it's should be easy enough for Liverpool. I struggled to find a worthwhile bet. I've gone into the first goal scorer market, Alexis McAllister, at 12-1. I think Liverpool are going to dominate the game. He sometimes plays in a more defensive role alongside Gravenberch, but he won't be needed too often in this game. So he'll be able to get forward. Had four shots against West Ham last week. Two of those were on target. There's no Liverpool forward sort of smashing the door down at the moment in terms of getting loads of goals. So they come from all over the pitch, and just wondered if McAllister might be able to be the next one to profit from that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're wanting to try and get any solace for Leicester going into this game, and of course Liverpool only need 6 points now, Tom, to seal the title, is the fact that, as Mark said, Liverpool aren't playing great. I mean, they did struggle for long periods against West Ham, and slightly fortunate to get the win in the end, but you still think they've got enough in the bag to be able to beat a struggling Leicester.
Absolutely. They're not playing that well, are they, at the moment, Liverpool? They're going through the motions. It's when they win the Premier League title, not if. And they should have enough to win this game. I mean, Leicester, they did finally score, and in their losing run at Brighton last time out, but they've still gone 8 home games without scoring a goal. I think they'll try and keep this tight. Liverpool haven't won by more than 2 goals in any of their last 13 games, which I think is quite an interesting statistic and kind of shows that they're not firing on all cylinders alludes to Mark's point that, you know, the attackers aren't necessarily firing at the moment. Mo Salah's not scored as many goals as he was over the first half of the season. Like so Cody Gakpo have slowed down a little bit as well. Liverpool will win this. They'll win this quite comfortably. But I've looked at Liverpool and under 3.5 goals, which, you know, is odds against. And I think that's decent value. They'll probably win this one 2-3-0 and we're not going to really remember it.
No. Easter Monday brings us a Monday night football to look forward to, and it takes place at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, where Spurs face Nottingham Forest. Spurs are 29-20 to claim the win. It's 13-8 Forest and 13-5 the draw. Tom, how do you see this one going?
Yeah, I found this one a really difficult one to call, actually, regardless of the fact Spurs are in Europa League action on Thursday evening. I'll apologise to Mark, though. I've gone with Forest in the draw. No bet market. It's difficult. They've lost their last two games. They've got their FA Cup semi-final coming up, which kind of half suggests to me that they might struggle in this game. But I think a kind of match away at Spurs, who like to push forward, like to get on the front foot, I think that suits Forest's counter-attacking style. And when they met at the City Ground earlier in the season, that was kind of evidence. So Forest won that 1-0. They had less than 30% of the ball. They struggled in terms of XG. Spurs had a better XG. Spurs had more shots on target, more shots off target, more corners. But Forest still won the game. And there could be something similar. Forest will sit back. They'll, you know, a draw's not an awful result for them, obviously, depending what happens with the other teams in the race for the top five. But they could nick it. They could win this one on the counter-attack. And Nuno gets a little bit more revenge against his former club.
Yeah, I wonder what sort of reception Mark Nuno might get on his return. I imagine it won't be a standing ovation.
I mean, it'd be ambivalent. People, they don't sort of care that he was there. I don't mean to be too rude to him, but he just wasn't there long enough to like or dislike him. I'm sure it'll matter to him and he'll want to sort of get one over the club. But I think Tottenham moved on quite quickly from Nuno. They might move on from Postecoglou as well if they lose this game on Thursday. I'm not sure he'll be manager on Monday. I actually think that I'm going to go for Tottenham to win. I think you said 29-20, which is basically 6-4 in old money, Warren. And I just thought that was too big about Spurs. The Thursday to Monday gap should be long enough. Whatever happens in Frankfurt. And I think either Postecoglou is sat on Friday if they go out of the Europa League, or they go through and there is a feel-good factor around the place again. You know, they're in the semi-final of a European competition. And then just from Nottingham Forest's point of view, I think they are beginning to, A, feel the pressure slightly, and B, just dropping back to more sort of normal performances for a squad of their quality. Lost four of their last five Premier League away games as well, which doesn't fill me with huge amounts of confidence.
Okay, well, that's the Premier League covered for the weekend. Next up, it's the EFL.
Do you want football free bets? All the best offers from your favourite bookmakers can be found in one place. Check out racingpost.com/free-bets to find out more. Racing Post, stay ahead of the field.
So it is a double weekend as far as the EFL is concerned, with games on Monday and, of course, before that on Friday. But we are going to focus on the main match this weekend in the Championship, which is Monday at 5:30 p.m. It is Burnley against Sheffield United. Two of the top three, of course, in action. Burnley 4-5 to win this clash, 11-4 the draw and 16-5 Sheffield United. It obviously is crucial in the battle, Tom, to get that automatic promotion spot, but maybe not quite as crucial as it would have been a couple of weeks ago.
No, perhaps not. And it could actually be decisive in the fact that if results go a certain way on Friday, Burnley are visiting Watford, Sheffield United are hosting Cardiff, potentially Burnley could even be promoted on Monday night with a positive result. And I do fancy Burnley to win this game. They're unbeaten in their last 29 league games. That dates back to the 3rd of November. They've not lost at home all season, conceding just 6 goals in the league. The last of those came against Norwich last weekend, where, you know, they were comfortable. They were 2-0 up, and it was slightly surprising that they allowed Norwich back into that game, but they still held on. Scott Parker knows how to get a side promoted. Burnley seem to know how to grind out results, even if they're not playing that well. Whereas for Sheffield United, they've kind of imploded, haven't they, in recent weeks? Three successive defeats and that loss at Plymouth last time out, conceding two goals after leading 1-0 inside the final 9 minutes. I think that's the nail in the coffin for their automatic promotion hopes. If I'm being completely honest, they've lost the last four meetings with Burnley, including going down 5-0 the last time they visited Turf Moor when the two sides were in the Premier League last season. So for me, Burnley are the value to win this game and to ultimately probably get the automatic promotion alongside Leeds.
That is looking the way at the moment. But if Sheffield United are to get a win, it could be an absolutely dramatic conclusion to the Championship season. We'll stick in with the EFL because Tom, as ever, will be able to give us three selections from this weekend's action. And who's the first pick, Tom, of the three?
Yeah, I've gone for a home win for Reading in League One against Lincoln. Reading firmly in the playoff picture, sitting sixth, 3 points clear of the chasing pack. And Noel Hunt's done an absolutely phenomenal job in difficult off-the-field circumstances with Reading. They've only lost one of their last 15 league games. They're unbeaten in 9 at home. And I think they're great value at odds against to beat a Lincoln side with nothing to play for in mid-table. They appear to be on the beach, to use that cliche. One win in the last seven away games, only 1 point from their last four away games. So for me, this is a nailed-on Reading victory.
Okay, so Reading is the first of the three selections. Who's pick number two?
Yeah, I've gone for another League One side to win at home, and that's Rotherham to beat Mansfield. They have named Matt Hamshaw as the new permanent manager this week after he won 3 of 4 in interim charge after succeeding Steve Evans. It's been a poor season for Rotherham. I expected them to challenge for promotion. That hasn't materialised, but they look like they're finding their feet and building towards perhaps a better campaign next term, and they should beat Mansfield, who've had a disastrous second half of the season. 2 wins in 18 in the league, 3 defeats in a row as well. They're still in relegation trouble. I think they might move closer to that bottom four after Friday's games.
Okay, so we've had two picks in League One. Tom, where are we going for the third and final pick?
Yeah, I've dropped down to League Two. Another home victory. I think Salford, still in the playoff mix, will beat struggling Accrington Stanley on home soil. Salford are unbeaten in their last six, and in the last two games they've beaten Notts County, who are going for automatic promotion, and they've drawn with Doncaster, another side with top three aspirations. And I think they'll beat Accrington. No win in six for Stanley. The last three games, lost 4-1 at home to Fleetwood, 4-0 away at Bromley, and then surrendered a 3-0 lead and drew 3-3 with fellow strugglers Tranmere last time out. They were 3-0 up after 78 minutes, and they conceded the late equaliser and Amari Patrick goal in the 101st minute. They've got a huge game potentially coming up on Monday against Carlisle, who are just below them in the standings. And I think they could go into that game on the back of another defeat.
Okay, so Reading, Rotherham and Salford are the three EFL selections from Tom. Up next, it's Mark's Bet Builder. And which game are we looking at, Mark, in terms of the Bet Builder this weekend?
Yeah, I think it's the biggest one in the Premier League. Aston Villa against Newcastle at Villa Park. First leg, over 2.5 goals. If you look at the last 26 matches combined of these two teams, 22 of those have gone over 2.5. But both teams blessed with good quality, excellent pace in the final third. And can expect a good game. I think both will go for the win. Because there's going to be a lot of goals, I hope, I'm also expecting, therefore, a lot of shots. So the other two legs are players who have over 1.5 shots. And we'll start with Harvey Barnes, who's had over 1.5 shots in each of his last six matches. Has really, I think, gained confidence from the fact that he's been given a run in the team. First of all, it was because Gordon was suspended and injured, but now he's just ahead of him on pure form, and he's making an impact on that left-hand side for Newcastle. And one of my players of the season, Morgan Rogers, going for him to have over 1.5 shots as well. He's had 9 in his last 4 games. He's just pure quality, whether he's off the right or in the attacking midfield role. Just love his grace, and he's direct, so much quality in his play. So over 2.5 goals, Harvey Barnes to have over 1.5 shots, and Morgan Rogers to have over 1.5 shots. That comes in at around about 7-2.
Okay, and from Mark's Bet Builder, we'll move on to the player props. And what have you got for us this week, Mark?
Yeah, let's talk about Cess. Ryan Sessegnon having an absolute renaissance since returning to Fulham. Difficult time at Spurs, you know, was just so many injuries disrupted his career there. But he's back at sort of a club that loves him and he loves them, and it seems to be going well. I'm going for Sessegnon to have one shot on target in the game, which is 6-4. And I'm also backing him to have over 1.5 shots on target at 8-1. So we're going for two bets in one. Sessegnon has had 7 shots on target in his last 290 minutes for Fulham. So that's one every 41 minutes. So, you know, using that math, and it's not, you know, it's never as sort of simple and as pure as that. You know, there is a fair chance that he gets the two. That's maybe ambitious for the 8-1, but definitely fancy him at 6-4 to get a shot on target.
Okay, well, that's Mark's Bet Builder and player props for this week. And the final bit of tipping advice for you in terms of this week's assist are the treble and the naps. We'll start off with the assist treble, and Tom, we'll start with your selection first.
Yeah, I mentioned them earlier on, but I think Reading a great value to beat Lincoln on home soil. That fantastic run they've been on and beaten in 9 at home. I think they look destined, they're certainly in the box seat to get that final playoff place in League One. And against a Lincoln side with very little to play for and who are out of form, especially away from home, I can only see a Reading win.
And Mark, I think you're dipping into the EFL as well, aren't you?
Yeah, and it's worth saying, of course, just for anybody that has missed it, you know, you need to get your bets on by Friday in the EFL because it's a Friday-Monday program rather than the normal Saturday this week. I'm going a fairly short price, but I think that they you know, are looking like a good one for the accumulators, and that's Wrexham to beat Bristol Rovers in League One, around about 4-9. Wrexham are second, pushing hard for automatic promotion. Bristol Rovers dropped into the relegation zone last week after the defeat to Exeter. That's 6 in a row now for Bristol Rovers. And I looked at the shots on target in those 6 games. They've had 13. Their opponents have had 34. So, you know, they're getting pummeled on the shot stats as well. Bristol Rovers, and you know, there's been some hard hitting pieces in the sort of on local websites, really, just the way the club's being run at the moment, and you know, a great opportunity for Wrexham to kick on and sort of go one step closer to the Championship.
And I'm going to go into the Championship for my selection for the assist. And I said a couple of weeks ago, I like to go with teams that have got something to play for, and I'm going with Stoke to beat Sheffield Wednesday at around about 5-4. The Potters are unbeaten in 4 games, 2 wins and 2 draws. And in fact, they've only lost 1 of the last 9 at home as well. Wednesday are pretty much one of only about 2 or 3 teams in the Championship who look like they won't go down and they won't go into the playoffs either. They've not won in 5 games now either. And as I say, I think Stoke will get that all-important victory that will pretty much secure their place in the Championship next season. So the treble for the assist is Reading, Wrexham and Stoke. And we'll conclude this week's show with the naps. And Mark, we'll start with your nap first.
Yeah, I'm going for West Ham -1 on the Asian handicap against Southampton. So for this bet, if West Ham win by 2 or more goals, your bet's a winner. If they win by 1 goal, stakes returned. If they don't win, the bet's a loser. You know, Southampton, you know, rock bottom, in disarray at the moment. But also, West Ham not playing great, I think it's fair to say at the moment. But if you look at their home games against Ipswich and Leicester, are the two comparable teams to Southampton, they won both of those by more than 1 goal. So hopefully it's hammer time for West Ham on Saturday.
And Tom, who's your nap?
Yeah, I've gone for Liverpool and under 3.5 goals in their match away at Leicester. I don't think anyone's in any real doubt that Liverpool will win this game, but they've not been playing that well. They've not been blowing sides away over recent weeks, kind of not limping towards the title, but going through the motions ahead of their inevitable Premier League success. So I think they'll win this 1-2-3-0, pretty comfortable, but I don't expect many fireworks.
Well, that's it for this week's assist. A big thanks to both Mark and Tom for their efforts. And don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment on the Racing Post YouTube channel. And a reminder that if you like your golf, please remember to join Steve Palmer every Tuesday on The Sweet Spot. We'll be back next Thursday with the assist. Looking forward to the FA Cup semi-finals as well as the Premier League and EFL action. In the meantime, enjoy your football this Easter weekend and please remember to gamble responsibly.